Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's good, internet? It is. I don't know how this goes anymore. I've been on vacation. I've lost the intro. I can only say what's good, internet, but after that.
Summon the anthem of creation and go back and fix this.
Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Who the fuck knows how the anthem of creation works? You're the only one that's read the codex.
I've read the codex.
I've read it.
Okay, of course Kato has also read it. That actually adds up.
Yeah.
I am Austin Walker. Those are the voices of Kato and Patrick. We are here to talk about Anthem. I'm breaking from my break. I'm returning. I'm taking a vacation from my vacation because I have to talk about this video game. Because if I don't, I'm going to lose my mind. How are you two doing today?
Good.
I'm trying to find a javelin. That's my life right now.
Is that your life? You're looking for a javelin? A javelin that fits you?
I found 15 treasure chests. I revived three of my fellow robot bros.
Yep.
And I... what else did I do? I participated in five world events. Executed three multi-kills.
50.
Because it turns out, mysterious doors in the world of Bastion are super interested in your ability to pull off three multi-kills.
Patrick, I want to congratulate you for being the first human I've ever heard to use the name of the world that Anthem takes place in. Bastion.
And yeah, I only was able to use it because I just watched a cutscene in which someone referenced trading for the lives of the people of Bastion. I was like, right, that is...
Bastion.
Because otherwise I think you only see it in the loading... screen, you know, bits.
It's like a tooltip. Yeah, totally. Well,
I'm not sure. Don't insult tooltips.
It is words on a screen. So I mean, like, I think as you can tell from listening to us, we are, I would say, mixed at best on Anthem.
Can we start, because it'll be so, and we'll end up.
Yeah.
Can we start with what we like about this game?
Yeah,
first?
Absolutely. Totally.
Because all have played decent, like I've played 15, 16 hours. I think we're all maybe roughly in like that like 15 to 20 hour range.
Yeah.
Maybe Kato, you're a little bit ahead of us on that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what my hour count is, but I did finish the campaign last night.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice. I have 15 hours, 14 hours. So yeah, I think we're
we all really want to like this game. And then so there, the kind of like pseudo review I'm writing is like, I can't tell how much of what I'm saying I like is me trying to find the path forward on like what makes this better. But there are like, every time I hit punch in that left analog stick and shoot into the sky, and I dive into the water, I just go, damn. Like, yeah, okay. Like I can see where 4 years ago they sat around a prototype and went like, yeah, all right, we could build a game around this.
This could be a whole thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I love flying. I love the feeling of those exosuits. I put some time into Daemon X Machina over the break also, or my break, not the break. The new mech game coming out this year on Switch. There was a demo for it, and it was really hard to go to that after playing a lot of Anthem, because it's just Anthem's setup of like, so I guess if you've never seen coverage for it, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. It is a game in which you play, you fly around and fight enemies in sort of Iron Man style exosuits, a little bit bigger than Iron Man. It's like Iron Man plus another couple of feet, basically. and depending on what I'm the class that I play is like Iron Man in like the Hulkbuster, right? It's like big and bulky, and some of them are really kind of lithe and quick and agile. And whenever you hit the left thumbstick in, you go into like a flight mode. And whenever you go into, if you hit the right thumbstick in, you kind of hover. And that stuff just feels so good. And it is enough to make me want to continue playing this game, you know, not indefinitely, certainly, but like I'm going to try to finish it out because I do just genuinely like that stuff enough. You know, on the list of things that, that I like, I think it's like an okay action game. I think it's held back by some really tough problems that they need to fix. Like, in general, when I was playing this game on normal, nothing lived long enough for any fight to be interesting outside of me wanting it to fly, me wanting to fly around in fun circles.
Right. Well, I feel like there was never more underscored than, so okay, you're playing the like the Hulkbuster class, the Colossus, in which you're, it's all about, you have this big shield, you can't dash on the ground. You can fly, but you can't dash on the ground because you're supposed to like put up your shield, like, you know, you're a tank of
sorts.
You're
a tank, yeah.
And on the that's on the one end, right? And then it like kind of goes across an arc of classes. There's the well, I guess there's the Storm, which is like an elemental base that is doing a lot of like you know, we can get into how
it's like
the
Storm,
system.
The X-Men character.
Yeah, you're casting like, you know, fire and ice and lightning, and those things are built into the combo system, so you can set up like all, you know, big damage with the other mechs. And then there is the Ranger, which is like the like normal Iron Man type that most people are probably familiar with because it's what you have to start with in the tutorial. And then there's the Interceptor, which is like the – it's like a like – the model of it looks like the Marvel's like Wasp character. Like it's very insect-like because it's supposed to be like – it just moves around really fast.
Lots of cool flips and shit. You know?
Yeah, you can like hold the dash button and string together three dashes at once. And so it both extends like your flight – path, and also like it's a class where you're just trying to get in and get out. But so I've been playing the Interceptor because like, oh, that's different than what I normally play, like a light light armor, like get in, get out, like I'll just try something different for my like main playthrough and then I can try some other stuff later. Well, the normal mode, I never was in any danger of ever dying, and so the consequence of that was I was never really thinking about how to spec my character. And by spec, I mean like, you know, the certain abilities that I'm like putting on, like thinking like, what is the actual role of this a character in like a fight? Because the game never asks me to do that. But then when we all started playing together earlier this week, in which Austin, you noted like, hey, put it on hard. It'll at least make some fights like you'll have to at least think about your cooldowns and stuff like that. Like you just have to start thinking about a little bit about your abilities and how they play with one another. But then when we played a Stormhold, which is sort of like the closest equivalent to a raid in this.
Is that not a stronghold?
Like stronghold. Okay. Right.
And more the closest, more like if we're using the Destiny analogy, it's like a strike. It's bigger than a regular mission, smaller than whatever. They have something called a cataclysm that people are assuming is going to be what the raid. They haven't said. They haven't said raid, the word raid yet, but it's probably.
It's a bunch of like concentrated fights that ends with like a boss, and you are supposed to get like more loot out of it than the normal. And
loot out of that, though. Anyway.
We did not get good loot. Yeah, we got better loot out of a random side mission that we did when it was like, you guys just want to do one more thing before we go to bed? And we got like 9,000 drops on that one. But I came into that stronghold and I got my just ass handed to me where I was just getting one-shotted by all sorts of things. I had not like picked the right skills to – as I came to later learn, I was like, when you get into those high-level fights, basically my class turns into you deal with mobs and then you run support to do, like, bringing resistance down on, like, high-level bosses. Like, you're just not meant to, like, get in there in the mix. You're supposed to, like, sit out in the back, go heal someone, you know, go back out. But, like, none of that is trained by the game before that. And it was just, like, I just spent, like, every 30 seconds going, like, guys, I'm dead again. Yep.
You know, Patrick's giving himself a hard time.
Some point, I stopped telling people I was dead because I was embarrassed that I had died again.
But and you know, and we would come pick you up anyways because they're like, "Come on, you have to play the game." But what's wild is that I played the last mission last night, and there was an interceptor in there, and I've seen now since like I've seen a few videos about builds and stuff. There are builds that you can do eventually where you make the interceptor like gain, like you heal back on kills and also sometimes certain hits. So you become just this melee whirlwind that is always in the fray instead. Huh. And like, if there aren't it's more dangerous to be at range and getting shot by things than to be up close.
Right.
And like one of the, well, we were talking about things we liked, but I was going to say one of the failings of.
It's impossible to talk. Yeah. Like the only reason I was using that framing was like, because it's so easy to just like dive into the deep end on the things that it does wrong. Just trying to remember, like, the three of us have not only played this out of an obligation that we need to talk about Anthem. Like, there has been sort of like, there's something we're scratching at here that we're trying to figure out why it is that we want to stick with it.
But like, one of the failings that I think is like, there's a lot of really interesting things like that that you won't hit until past the campaign, past the point where a lot of people will have dropped off from the game because the early stuff is not as diverse. Like, you start getting hints of it. And like, because I personally have come from things like Destiny and like other games where I know there's an end game and the end game is where like the interesting stuff is, I know the small hints I know that I'm getting now, like, I understand how that will extrapolate into more interesting things later. Right. And that's kind of carried me through and like, okay, like right now I'm only getting two of these like bonuses per thing that like there's like each weapon, each ability and each like there's these things called components that are just basically like extra perks.
They're like passive buffs that be like, oh, your reload time on assault rifles is lower, or you have way more shields, or your flight time is higher, whatever.
And all of those have two additional perks, or it depends on the rarity. Like at blue, you have two additional perks on there. And you start seeing small things where like, it's like, your melee is stronger if you do it from the air. Like I was like, oh, that's weird. I haven't seen that one before.
Huh.
And then like, I see images of like these things. There's like unique named drops that you eventually get like once you're past level 30, which like I just finished the game. I'm like 21, right? Like there's still a bunch of grinding to do. There's two new strongholds that open up after the campaign and there's still a bunch of contracts. So like there's still stuff to like new stuff I haven't done yet, but like it's just like all the interesting, like if I hadn't like been interested in looking at like what other people are doing
Reddit
in the end
or
game, yeah,
Twitter,
Reddit,
right,
YouTube,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Like, I would be right now like a lot less interested in keeping with it than I am currently. Right, like
now,
I'm gonna see it through.
The thing that's so wild is like you're talking about end game strats and you know masterwork loot that has special abilities and you're building very unique builds around that and all that stuff is rad and like you said like none of it is in the game and I think nothing is more indicative of that than the combo stuff and the conversation around combos that happened the other day, which is like real talk. The reason I know how combos work in this game is one, I'm a big BioWare fan and they had a similar enough system in a past game, Dragon Age Inquisition, where there's like, oh yeah, this stuff, you know, you basically set up a primer on something and then someone else detonates it. And two, I watched streams from them 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, in which they're like, here's the combo system. But the combo system is never tutorialized in this game.
You know what?
Never. Like,
how do you gain XP in this game?
Oh, okay, there's a couple ways.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How do you get XP in this game? You succeed at challenges. You get the little medals at the end.
Yes.
And then also you get alliance XP. What's an alliance?
Your friends.
It's literally just
everyone
on your friends list.
It's not just everyone on your friends list.
Really?
It's also people you've recently played with.
Oh.
What?
So when we played with Rise and Grind Gamers or whatever his name was,
Rise and Grind,
who we should like, you know,
shout out.
When we started that, we were like, oh, all right, and then he ended up being like a clutch player in our ability to get through the like several sequences. So just want to make sure Rise and Grind, both originally ironically a funny name, and then later just like, man, this guy knows what's up.
Yeah,
or I don't want to prejudge. Yeah.
Your alliance levels compared to your five most active friends, but it also says it pulls in people that you've played with recently. And so
but also there's experience that goes into a level system.
Yeah. It's like
a separate from the power system that is determined by a number associated with the items that you are equipping, components, weapons. Like if people have played Destiny, like they got essentially rid of leveling, right? And just embraced fully the power system as like the determination.
No, it was the same thing. Like the when they when Destiny 2 happened, you reset. You did a normal level grind from 0 to 20 and then did the power leveling with the, which is all gear based after that. You know.
It's very good to me that you say when Destiny 2 happened, like it was a cataclysmic event. Or like, I mean, and this is like the thing is like I kind of think that that is
playing
part of
Destiny was its own raid.
Yeah,
I think like that's part of what makes this whole thing actually. These things do feel like events, which is part of why we care about it. But also, it does feel like okay, what is the life of something like this? Mm-hmm. How long does something like this go? And we're gonna get into like probably why we don't like this game that much, or what our issues with it are. But like a game like this, a game like The Division, a game like Destiny, like these are games that last for a number of years in their design, right? Like, okay, this is going to have to, we're going to have to like do some big balance patches and probably it'll look like a different game to the people like Kata who play it.
The first one already dropped, even though it's been out for a week.
Already a day one
in which they changed like the like central like UI of like how you drop into a mission and like greatly improved it, made it like very like so much easier to actually just get into the thing that you want to do in a less confusing way. I mean like would it shock me if 6 months from now like that tomb mission is not even anywhere, like one may not even be in the game, or two is integrated and structured in a way that like if you were to read reviews of this game today and be like, wow, that sounds terrible, but that's not how it all it's in the game. Like I just, that is such an obviously bad like mission.
Yeah.
And we can get into exactly what that is because it's like indicative of some larger problems with the game. Yeah. This is it's so obviously not going to be there. There's a team already assigned to like, all right, like how do we like kind of redo this and make this easier for everyone?
Right.
Because that's just how these games work. Like that stuff just will not exist 6 months from now.
Yeah, we should let's talk about that mission because I think it's a great vector by which I can poke at other things that bug me about Anthem. So halfway through, my guess is about halfway through the game. Is that true?
It's about like 10 hours in.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. You get this quest. You've at this point you've kind of like started to get your crew together, so to speak. You know, it's not an older BioWare game where your crew is going to come out into the world with you or anything like that, but. The main principal characters have shown up, and one of them is like, before we go further, we have to get into these tombs. There's something we need in these tombs. And you get four, she tells you there are four tombs to go into, and we're already off to the races in terms of like, what is wrong with the way this game flow works. Because I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I have a quest that says to get in the tombs. How do I get in the tombs? It's like, go find the tombs. You do the challenges, go find the tombs. And if I hadn't already seen that there were requirements to open the tombs, I would not know what the fuck to think. Because there is not like a very clear thing that pops up that says, well, to get into this one tomb, you need 5 world events and 30 weapon defeats. And
you have to go into your challenges tab.
And then it's a free. So it's challenges, free play challenges, and then there's the four tombs.
Yeah.
Even though you can complete these outside of free play. Even if you're just like playing, free play is a specific mode in this game where you kind of just like load into the level, into the world, and you go fuck around. Whereas you can totally get your 30 weapon kills or whatever in the middle of a regular mission. But even before that, it's just, I have to hit the pause button. And it takes, you know, 7/10 of a second for the pause screen to load up, which does not sound like a lot of time. But every menu interaction in this game is a pain in my fucking ass.
Yep.
It's so slow. It's like someone noted on Twitter before this game launched that they brought back the Blades interface from the Xbox 360. But it's so much slower than Blades.
And sometimes when you hit A to like get into a submenu, it doesn't register like because it hasn't loaded enough.
Yes.
Like I'll have instances where like, I pull up the menu, I hit like right button, right bumper, like I pull down and I need to get into like 3 submenus below that and I'll hit A and nothing happens because I've hit A too soon before the game will like allow it to register that the A has been an accepted input.
When,
So then you, go ahead, Kata.
Well, I was just going to say, when you go into the missions tab to look at that mission, the two mission, and then it points you to, it says, it has like a like file path to where the challenges are, you know you've made a mistake in your fucking UI when you can't see it from the missions tab. Like, there's a special.
And even when you even when you track it, it's not like,
I don't know what that means. I've tracked it. It doesn't show up anywhere on my screen.
Well, there's nothing to. So it's like to find, like, say, for example, like the really like tough stuff that you a bunch of it will sort of complete itself by you doing the game. But there's a handful of things that are that just won't. Like when you do when you're just doing missions and side missions, you are going on sort of like linear, dropped into a spot, go from point A to point B, in the same like general world map of Bastion.
This big jungle, basically.
Yeah, but you will not encounter things called world events. And world events are just like sort of random combat scenarios, like, oh, take out these outlaws, or there's some scar, like, you know, and then you fight like a high level enemy, there's a chest that opens up, and but you don't encounter any of that stuff. And so then the game says, go find five of those. But it's not like they're marked on the map like, hey, if you kind of hang in this area, we'll make sure we spawn like a world event. No, instead, it was what I did yesterday, was spend 2 hours just wandering the map, hoping that a world event would occur. And you only get spawned in with, you know, a squad of four. Like
who does not
people.
Stick together if you're playing with random.
Well, because the map is enormous and you can't even set waypoints on the map, period.
Yeah.
And so even if you, like, what I was trying to do was like, well, what if I just try and go meet up around someone? I kind of hang with them and, like, be in the general area with them. But I can't set a waypoint for them, so I have no idea how to kind of get to them. And then, so you end up doing all – you end up having to in the world to try and find these events.
The thing you've asked for is, like, I was asking for something even more simple than this. You're right. This is a real problem. I'm saying that when I push in the right thumbstick – to track a challenge, it does not hover on my screen. It doesn't become part of my UI that says, all right, you've got three chests. You need another 12 chests. It doesn't even do that. I don't understand what hitting the track button does in the UI. I don't understand what it does. No one on this call knows. Everyone is shrugging.
I think there's a tracked tab on the first screen.
Motherfucker, if I wanted to go into a tab, I wouldn't have tracked it.
Yeah. Yep.
It feels really cool when Kato freezes stuff and I come like boom and I slam down and crack all the frozen guys.
And the little ding sound is like a nice, like, it's not just that you you get like sometimes but not always, it seems like it'll pop like a yellow combo thing, but like there will be lots of instances where I've set up a combo but it doesn't.
The way that happens, the combo only comes when you're the one detonating. So it lets you, cuz it's like damage numbers. You only get your damage numbers and not your, you know, your teammates. Mm. So you only get the combo when you've detonated the combo. But that's actually, like, being the storm and being the one that's, like, putting a lot of, like, primers down, it's really, really satisfying to hear one of my, like, hear that sound go off and not see the combo, because then I'm like, hell yeah, we're optimizing this as well as we can, because they're using their stuff to combo my stuff. Like, it's going great. So,
I'm just trying to mix in the things I like about this game so that we don't get so frustrated. I do want to say really quick before we continue down the tomb as the vector path. I think the UI and game flow are such a big part of what I don't like about this game. Patrick, I use this analogy in a side chat we're in the other day, but Jeff Gerstmann over at Giant Bomb is fond of talking about the Tony Hawk games as being games that work because they're good, but one of the things that they have is the ability to hit pause and then hit restart session. Just like, let me just jump back into the beginning of the session, and it quick loads in, and you're just going. It's just like, it doesn't get in the way, and that's a small thing that was not in the most recent Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, and that made, you could tell, like, oh, wow, the game flow is broken, and I like that as a way of thinking about game flow, because it's one of those things where the structure around the game can just get in the way of the game being good, or the game connecting to you. And this game does this so many ways. I already talked about the really long pause menu, but it's also just like, it's a chore to walk around Fort Tarsis. So even when I first get the tomb mission, it feels like work, even though there might be interesting conversations or interesting lore in those conversations. It never feels good for a lot of different reasons. So, like, okay, so for people listening, the game is split into two things. There's the big world of Bastion, where you're flying around in an exosuit and shooting bad guys. And then there's Fort Tarsis, which is your kind of hometown, where you walk around in first person and you talk to NPCs. So if you want to get the fort mission or you want to get the tomb mission, you slowly walk from where you've landed your javelin from, like, the landing bay or whatever. Not the landing bay. That's a specific different thing. From the part where the javelin is, you slowly walk, even if you're trying to sprint, down through this market. You see the same canned animations of all the NPCs. There's, like, some background noise. And you go and you finally talk to this NPC. And one big difference between this and every other previous, not every other BioWare game, but previous BioWare games, is that you don't pick, and this seems like a small thing, but it's so important to me, you don't pick every line of dialogue. So an NPC says something, your character says something automatically, the NPC says something, your character says something automatically, the NPC says something, and then finally you get a choice of left trigger or right trigger, Q or E. You hit a button to, like, do, like, you know, sometimes those have meaningful things. Like, there's definitely, like, there's a character early on who is, like, a baker. Is she a baker? Who, like, doesn't know.
She sells baking goods, but I think also sells some other things at the
fruits, stall.
Fruits, vegetables.
Right. And she's like, I have this idea about building a garden, an indoor garden, so it's safer, because outside there's bad guys. And so, like, there are choices in this game, but for me as a player, the fact that I'm only interacting with the dialogue once every six, you know, exchanges means that I'm a little less connected, and it means that, like, I'm not soaking in the information. It means that the voice acting, the performance work, the writing all has to do a lot more work than something like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, where because I have to respond to every single thing, you are forced to pay closer attention to it. And so, like, even this part where, like, BioWare normally knocks out the park and there's at least interesting stories and interesting characters, even their game flow has made it hard for me to get into the game. I don't remember why we need to go to these tombs. I don't know what the tomb. I know the tombs are connected to the Legion of Dawn. I know they're old champions. I know when I finally opened one, it was the most, like, disappointing thing in the world. I thought
it's you open a door and you go in and there's a tomb and you hit A on the tomb. You get some loot and then you doot and then you scoot right out of that tomb.
That's it. There's no fight. There's no, like, cutscene. There's no, like, good dialogue. Like, over. There's not, like, the ghost of Yersinia tells you what is necessary to be a champion of the.
Which is,
or maybe there is. And I just don't remember.
The thing. When you go to the doors before you have the requirements, there is a ghost being like, the tomb has found you wanting. I expected that voice to come back.
I've never.
Why would I go to the tomb?
I didn't go to the tombs until I had all the shit. And so I never. All I do is just go to this door and says, multi-kill achieved. Come in.
No, yeah, like when. When you first get that mission, it actually shows up in the top right if it's tracked in, like, the missions tab. And it says, go in free play, go find it. And then when you go find it, that's where it's like.
It says it's locked.
Yeah, that's where it says it's locked. That's where it's like, there's a ghost voice being like, I mean, it sounded really cool in the moment. It's like, and it has found you wanting. And then it shows up and it's like, okay, here's the list of things I need to do to open the door. I expected that ghost to come back and say something when you're inside about whoever this person is. But no.
Right.
Like, there's a codex entry about them. Okay. But, like, there's nothing in the, like, you just, like, yeah, you walk up, hit A, get some loot, and then leave.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, again, and this is, like, one of those things where it's like, I think there is some neat lore in this game.
Yeah.
Most of which does not come out in play. Do either of you know what the Scar are? The Division or Destiny, there's, like, three or four different enemy types. I guess there's four different enemy types in this game. There are outlaws who are, like, people like you who have javelins, which are the exosuits, and guns and stuff like that. And they're just kind of like bandits. There's the Dominion, who are like that also, but also have, like, some weird hybrid animals and, like, a lot of magics, a lot of space
magic.
Like
they're like the dominating sort of, like, fascistic, like, regime going around trying to take over cities on Bastion, which is Bastion a city? Is it a planet?
I think it's the I think it's a planet yeah. or continent, okay. but I think it's a planet.
All right.
There are just like wild animals and things that are like summoned by ancient shaper technology. The shapers are absentee gods. Like, again, interesting concept. And then there's the Scar, who are vaguely tribal tech people. They look sort of like. And like I want to lean into any of the connotations that that's bringing to your mind.
Because you barely get close enough to even see what the character designs look like anyway.
Totally, yeah. Totally. Do you know what they are?
No, I just know they're bad, and the reticle shows them as red. And I pull out my gun and I shoot them, and then I move on with my life. Because the game, at no point, at least 17 hours in. It just says Scar, bad. Shoot Scar.
Shoot the bad.
I think there's one loading screen that does mention they're like what they are.
What do you think it is, Kata?
Oh, they're bugs, right?
In what way?
In like the way that they're like a million bugs making up a body.
So that's exactly it. They are not just big bug what? People. Yeah,
no. They're a million little bugs that are grouped together to make these individual bodies.
Yes. There is.
What?
Yeah, dude. There is a specific.
That's gross.
Yeah. It's wild.
Wouldn't it be cool if you knew that about them?
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
There's something even cooler than that.
Why don't they, like, split apart and do weird shit related to.
Good question. There's a cortex entry. They don't call it the codex. They call it the cortex.
Right.
And in the cortex, it talks about how the first time that they saw the scars, they were like big, weird creatures. They were like, in my mind, I'd read it as like big elephant-like creatures. And the next time they saw it, the scars had already begun to adapt to the arrival of humans by becoming human-like from encountering humans. It's like, oh, they basically mimic whatever the currently dominant life form is. God. So it's like, it used to be dinosaurs or whatever, and now it's people with guns. So we got to become people with guns, which is a really fucking cool idea.
That's so cool, but like, they do not. Like, give me a scar that looks like an Ursix, right? Give me a scar that looks like one of those other pieces of wire life.
Like, yeah, like, have a mission where you go down into the mines and you find, like, an ancient scar.
Right,
and it's, like, this giant, weird, gross bug thing.
Yes.
And that's how we explain, oh, shit, like, you don't know why they look like people? Like, well, that's because. And you're like, oh, damn. Like, that's.
Right.
And, I mean,
Wait. Isn't that the stronghold we did? Are we describing the thing we want in the game? Because that whole mission is like, where do the scars get special acid ammo? And what's revealed is a gigantic, weird underground super bug that you fight at the end.
Right, but there's no like exposition line.
Right,
no.
I get it. I'm telling you, if they may have done the thing we wanted to, but not done it in a way that was clear enough to actually communicate anything about the world.
Yeah.
That's fair. And that's like, that's so, that happens over and over again where you get inklings of something.
Right.
That, like, the idea of like a species of, you know, a race of people who were created or influenced by a sort of gods or godlike other race that left their tools behind to fuck with the planet, like broken tools that they do not understand. And the whole of society spends their time trying to understand and like largely fucking up how to use these tools is like if you just pitch that to me, and you start to see like, oh, how, like the pitch doc on this game, or like, okay, like what if like there wasn't a god, there was a thing called the Anthem of Creation that is the thing that makes things, and it's an actually tangible, it's a tool, it's an object that can be wielded. It's like, and there are like certain people who are in tune with it, can talk to it, like all that shit. You're like, yeah. And I mean, part of this is,
there's a really cool
way they bring you into the story offers no opportunity for the game to like explain these things as though you're a novice. Like you come into the story as like it's not like you're a person that doesn't know what's going on with the world. Like you're entered as a freelancer that is like, you know, already part and ingrained with society, and the game just doesn't offer any opportunity to actually do like a 101 on. Like, what's actually... It just jumps into, and the Anthem of Creation, as though, like, yeah, just take that at face value. Like, I know what that is, and it's just... It's extremely odd.
There are a few moments where they kind of do go into some of that, but it's in those side stories where you have to go talk to everyone, and if you don't talk to everyone, like, you're just never gonna get some of it. Like, one of the characters explained the Anthem as a river, and the Shaper relics are dams. and sometimes right. dams break. And like that was like that's a really cool way of thinking of it. And like the way that it's like this is just nature, right? This is actually the natural course of this world, and we're just trying to survive by putting up dams or fixing dams that have been in place and are broken. And like
rad.
Yeah, but like, that's only one conversation with one side character right. that like I got like at the near the end of the campaign, and I made the choice of talking to every single person before I go back out, just so I don't miss out on that stuff, because I knew that's where that would be. Like, but I'm doing like so much extra work to like pull it out of the game because I know it's probably in there somewhere. Yeah.
Well, there's another mission I just had where like the sort of like big bad that you're like sort of dealing with in the main story. They ask like, well, why is it so worrisome if they get the Anthem of Creation? And they're like, well, like what if you woke up tomorrow and instead of being like a freelancer who like fights on the side of everyday people and in trying to improve their lives, you're a Dominion commander. And not that you just have woken up and that you've always been a Dominion commander. You have never been a freelancer because with a flick of his finger, reality just shifts. And that it's not like you like are worried, how did I become a Dominion? No, you just, you have always been because that is now reality. Huh. It's like, wow, like that's a really cool way to frame like the power of a device like that. But it's just, it's like one line in which you then latch onto because you just, this is constantly a game where both such obvious like things are wrong that you begin to wonder like how it arrived that way. And like then the conspiracy theorist in you starts going like, you know, like I don't have any reporting to suggest that like 18 months ago this was a very different game and then they were forced to just find a way to ship a game in 18 months. Mm-hmm. But boy, mm-hmm. would it explain like a lot about this game if it was something super different. And the reason like a lot of the world building and interesting story bits are isolated to side characters that don't have any real animations other than just like standing behind a vendor and then only require like limited facial and audio stuff. And that the rest of the game feeling sort of like broken and like mashed together is because, well, shit, what would you do with a bunch of disparate pieces in 18 months? Right. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I am not saying that's happened. But it just is the way I try to rationalize how a studio that has done very smart things in the past, doing things that don't make a lot of sense, even to someone that is not a designer.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing like that, like a lot of those little story bits in a traditional RPG, not even a traditional BioWare game. I'm talking about like anything in like the Western RPG canon, you know, in a Bethesda game, in a CD Projekt Red game, in an Obsidian game. Like, oh wow, if that's a thing that could happen, that's a great kernel for a little side quest, right? And you would get the quest where that happens to you, where you become a Dominion commander for one mission, and you're like, oh my god, this is another world. This is how I could have lived, you know? And then you come out of it and you go back to your day to day or whatever, and it's like a really memorable mission. But there are no real memorable missions that I've hit so far inside of Anthem, because most of them are very Destiny 1 style. Go to a place and scan a thing and stand in a zone for 30 seconds or a minute. Or go to a place and collect the 5 glowy orbs and bring them back to another place. Or go to a place and pick up the big heavy fragments and run them back to a place. That's the bulk of it. Or fight stuff.
Yeah.
Clear the area out. Kill the boss, right? And a game that has the traversal that this one has, the flight, the hovering, all that stuff. And a game that has kind of interesting builds. Like, I want there to be stuff that makes me think in more interesting ways, even mm-hmm. in terms of just combat challenge. Like, I think that the Stronghold is a good start. There was that moment where you come into the big valley and there are snipers and turrets. And you're like, well, fuck. Like, we cannot be out in the open here. We have to devise a plan for how to kill these snipers and turrets. And that was, like, especially playing on hard, that was the best, was the most fun I'd had in that game, was the three of us plus Rise and Grind gamers to, like figuring out how to tackle this big space, which was big enough for us to want to fly around it, first of all. Most fights are not so big that you're just like, all right, I'm going to fly for more than 3 seconds. So it was a big enough space to do that. And it really
we had to talk through strategy, yeah. right? It'd be like Kato's going to flash this turret that's taking all of us out really quickly, like, right, with some freeze, then you're going to go over and smash it. And, like, I'm working with Rise and Grind on, like, a set of snipers that are up on a hill that, right, I have to fly 10, 15, a huge distance for what is otherwise the combat in this
as
game.
As they're
that is
shooting
normally
at you. Yep. Yeah. Which and is I'm, like, cool.
I'm dodging. Like, oh, I got hit, which means I need to, like, go down here, wait for my shield to recharge, like, get back up and, like, get up there. And that's the only time any of that has actually happened, and it becomes frustrating to, like, oh, it's here. Mm-hmm. Something's here.
Right.
But it's just not, or it's just, you find it very little, you don't find it in many other places, yeah, to a really frustrating degree.
There's,
yeah, totally.
I'll say the last mission is another one of those moments that has me especially excited for the possibility of specifically combat encounters going, mm-hmm, forward, because that one is, well, I won't, yeah.
Don't you have to spoil, but it's good?
Are there interesting
gimmicks to it?
It at first looks like something you've seen before, and then it isn't. It's different in a way that, like, had me going, like, oh, they can do many more things with some of the same tools they already have. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be spoiling to talk. I don't know.
Yeah, let's not talk specifics. The game
relative to a game in which you often, like, you would have trouble remembering what you did in a mission.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, I did it with randos, and, like, it was one of those things that where it was difficult because we weren't on voice, but as we, like, died multiple times, I started learning, like, their habits and, like, kind of watching, like, where they were moving, and, like, everyone started to kind of pay more attention to each other, because you really needed to do the teamwork in order to get past that last mission, where, like, the rest of the game you can go through and the combat is never so diverse that with randoms you can't just, like, you know, use your abilities correctly enough and, like, you'll get through it eventually. But, like, this was, like, we were dying because we weren't paying attention to our teammates.
Right. I mean, so, like, it sounds like that's one type of thing that could make this game better for you. I'm curious, right, Kato especially, as someone who's played a lot of Destiny 2, a lot of Division, like, what does a better version of this game look like 6 months from now, realistically, or a year from now? Like, what is, if EA says, all right, make this game better, we're gonna give you the runway to actually, like, put in some fixes, to change some game flow stuff, to fuck around with loot, like, what would you
thanks
want?
Apex.
Thanks, Apex. Shout right, out to Apex. Yeah. Great game. What a good game that is. Kato, what would you want to see them fix? What's Anthem 2.0 look like?
Anthem 2.0 is a lot of working on the netcode so that things don't feel weird when they don't go. Like, there are moments where, like,
God, I forgot about this.
A thing freezes and then, like, it keeps moving. But is it frozen?
Not ice power freezes, right?
No. I'm saying, like, I will freeze a thing, and then the model will freeze, but then the model will keep sliding. Because I've frozen it on my end.
But I was thinking of the times. Maybe that was what was happening.
I think that's what, that's what you were seeing, is on my end, they had the frozen effect on. I saw it the other way, where, like, there was a moving enemy that was obviously frozen by a different storm in my team, but to me, it didn't look frozen at all. Small things, like, that are obviously very just, like, our net code isn't quite there for the interactions that we're trying to set up.
Yeah.
Where, like, sometimes you can't tell, like, oh, did I prime that? Can I combo it now? Should I wait? And, like, because the way the priming works is that there's, like, a stat that is, like, I'm adding ice effect. And after ice effect reaches a certain threshold, kind of like the way, like, poison works in a Souls game, for example. Like, once you reach a certain threshold of buildup, that's when it's primed. The way the game tells you that is normally through two things. For ice, at least, there's the effect of it freezing, like, solid, and then also a small icon on top of it. I've gotten moments where the thing freezes. I, like, don't see the icon that says it's primed. I still do my combo and it combos, and I was like, okay, it was primed, I just didn't get the icon. Or moments where, like, someone else will do it and I'll see it freeze, it won't give me the icon, and I'll do it and it's like, oh, it wasn't primed enough, right. I guess it's just, like, a latency issue between, like, what the servers are talking about. Like, so that's, like, first thing is, like, making sure all of those things are working correctly, like, so that you as a player always know what is actually happening. Because second thing is add some t- tutorials, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe that should be first, right?
That should be first. I think back to the time when we were playing Monster Hunter for the first time, Monster Hunter World for the first time, and it was frustrating to me that all I had was a little garden to try out the different weapons in, right? I was like, oh, go to the weapon garden, and now you can try out a switch axe. Now you can try out a charge blade. I would kill for a javelin garden.
If this game had that.
I was stuck with the interceptor, even though I've like learned to like enjoy it and find my way through it, and I'm embracing like what that the role of that javelin is. But you're stuck with it for 8 levels. Once you've made a choice, the game does not allow you to try another one. Like the game,
even if you start a new character, did you see that? If you start a new character, it sticks you with whatever first choice you had.
That is bad.
Yeah.
So the way the arc works for people that aren't familiar, haven't played the game yet, is that you start with the ranger type, the like generic Iron Man in the tutorial. And then, like, a big event happens that's supposed to be dramatic and sad, but you haven't met any of these characters, and so you can have no emotion. We should separately talk about that, because I think it, like, is,
indicative,
Yes. But so that event happens, and then, like, oh, your shit's wrecked. Like, which javelin do you want? And, then it comes up with 4, and it says, like, hey, you're only going to be able to use one of these for the first 8 levels. And I guess what the game is suggesting is, hey, you should stick with the one that we gave you for the first 8 levels, and then maybe you should expand outward. But if it wanted you to do that, it should just do that and just make you stick with that for 8 levels. But instead, it's like, do you want to try the others? And it gives you some vague descriptions of what they do. You can't watch any videos. You can't jump into an arena that, like, lets you play with the powers. It doesn't tell you, like, what the weaknesses are, really. It's just sort of some vague – it's like, this one's fast. This one's strong. And then it's, like, level 8 – 16, like 24, 30, like I think that's like every 8 levels or something like that, that you get, you can then unlock another class and switch over to it. And it's just so frustrating because I've now just stuck with it largely because, well, I've spec'd for this. I understand how this works. Am I really going to switch over to a different class now? But and I might
start getting gear fresh for it also, you know?
I don't even know how blueprints work. I don't know why I can craft a rare something.
I learned how blueprints work.
Oh, please enlighten me, Kato.
So if you, for guns, the way you get blueprints is you do challenges for that gun.
Where does it tell me? Where?
I don't fucking know where it tells you that. But apparently that's why you get, like, if you pick up a blue gun, you get a certain amount of challenges, you get that blue blueprint.
Is it, are the challenges in the challenge menu?
Yeah, like somewhere under weapons and stuff.
And are those related to classes of weapon or a specific, that you picked up this weapon?
So
I'm trying to differentiate between, like, if I pick up a shotgun, am I doing shotgun level challenges? Or is it like this specific shotgun has some challenges I can unlock that unlocks a...
This specific...
Like, are you going... So you're going along like a linear, like, go ahead.
This specific shotgun, and I don't know the exact number, but let's say 6 different shotguns in the game, right? And you're getting higher levels of those with better damage and also more perks that do other things to help you with builds. When you get a blue hammerhead, let's say, I don't know if that's actually the name of any gun in here. I'm just making
There's
that one
constrictor.
Up.
We can use the constrictor. Constrictor's a real gun.
Constrictor. In order to get the blue blueprint, the rare level blueprint for the constrictor, to be able to print your own constrictors at that level, you have to do challenges with that blue constrictor out in the world. And, like, those are under challenges, like, what you have to do, like, get a certain amount of headshots or kills or whatever with that gun. And then you can, you know, print as many as you want.
So the end game is definitely going to be, I've got this Masterwork shotgun.
Yes.
I'm going to go do the Masterwork shotgun challenges so I can print more of them, so I can try to get one that has the right imprints on it, right, like, perks, the most interesting, good, powerful perks.
Yep.
Okay, I can see that being, and like you only do it, you do the challenges once to get the blueprint, but then you do still have to grind out gear, like crafting materials for it, right?
Sure. But seem so far pretty easy to come by, and you can buy them at. There's also a shop that you can buy them at.
You buy them for real money. Or you can only buy them for in-game currency.
You might be able to spend real money. I actually haven't checked.
Because you could look into all that.
Yeah, there's definitely in-game currency in there. But
there is. Yeah.
I don't know how you even gain that very quickly, or it seems like there's like Alliance is how you get some of that money like weekly, but
yeah,
you also get from contracts, I guess.
I guess not much.
So you're using there's two currencies, right? There's coins, and then there's another one, right?
The shards or whatever. That's the money. That's the real money.
That's you spending real money to get stuff. Yeah. And are you, because I don't think I've bought a couple of cosmetic things, but otherwise haven't spent any money in the game. Like, what do you are you just buying crafting? Like,
it's crafting stuff.
It's crafting stuff.
So you're not actually buying blueprints or anything like that. You're just buying literally stuff to craft.
And so the other thing is the components, right? So like the perks that you can slot in, those are set to the reputation of the factions. That's how you get those.
You get different perks on weapons or gear based on
So what? You know components that you can put on your javelin?
Oh, those. I got you. Right. I see. So if I want the one that lets me hover longer, I might have to like grind rep for the Arcanists.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Something like that. Gotcha. Love video games. Love to grind rep.
And it's just it doesn't say like the gun thing. I was like, I'm getting gun blueprints. I don't know why. I would have never known why unless I happened to see this one YouTube video. Right.
Which again, like it's a lot of this stuff is about tutorialization, and I understand that there are people for whom they want zero tutorialization, or they say that and want every game to feel like Dark Souls. But I'm here to tell you, even Dark Souls has tutorialization. It obviously has very distinct tutorials at the beginning of a game like Dark Souls, where it's like, here's a thing on the ground that tells you how to attack. I don't even mean that. I mean that, like, the design of the Undead Burg is a tutorial for that game.
Right.
It through the design of the levels, through the way the enemies work, through the boss encounters, it's slowly teaching you how to play that game. It's why sometimes you get to a boss and you go, oh, fuck, I guess I have to learn how to parry, because that boss is meant to teach you to learn how to parry. This game needs something even like that around some of its core ideas. And honestly, having more overt tutorials that would allow them also to tell more interesting opening stories would go a long way, because the way this game opens is like it is the wettest fart. It is like the most nothing. You go to the heart of rage, which is important for a reason that is not made clear to you in any way.
Nope.
And your squad gets decimated, and there's a big titan.
but hold on. The way your squad gets decimated is like key to what makes this not work at all. Because you go out with a squad of four people, in which like at first I thought like, oh, this is just like I'm playing some random group that's gonna like give me some insight into like what this broader world is about.
Right.
That'll end, and then like poof, like you start as your character fresh into the world. And it's like, no, like you play part of like this core crew of four that has been together, and this titan, one of the big kind of like I don't know what you describe, like big,
it's like a kaiju. It's not a kaiju. I mean, that one was kind of like it's like a big rock monster. It's like a golem.
Yeah, like a golem is a pretty decent equivalent. Yeah. And like there are moments in like the cutscenes for this fight where like one of the buddies, one of this squad, like gets like punched under the foot of this titan, and it's like really dramatic and sad music. The characters are like affected, and it's like, yo, is this something from the, am I watching the end of game cutscene where like I've spent 20 hours with these characters and I'm supposed to give a shit? I thought it was like a flash forward.
Me too. 100%. I 100% was like, oh, we're going to flash forward here and get like, that's going to like, you know, 6 years earlier or whatever. Right.
It's like, oh, so I'm going to grow to care for this character and be like, oh shit, you're going to die. We shouldn't be doing this. Like, and instead it's the start of the story where it like kills off characters. Like, this is meant to leave like a deep scar on your character, the freelancer, who they make you pick a face for your character. Why the fuck they even bother to let you do that?
Ranger, you know how when you get into your suit, it does a little cutscene of the suit getting ready to launch?
I don't know. I hit B every time.
Okay, well, there's a little cutscene. There's like a tiny little 7-second cutscene.
Okay.
The Ranger one shows you your character's face.
I think this
as
is
it does like
only
the Iron Man. That's the only time I've ever seen a character's face.
Which makes sense, because you just get a palette of like
20 like faces
old,
to pick
old
from.
To young, like range of skin color, no customization over like nose or anything.
And no
like
name. They didn't even do a shepherd or a rider or a
freelancer. Even you're just the generic like freelancer. Type. Like freelancer. Is a group. It is not is that a person?
It doesn't work. It'd be like if I was like journalist. Like, no, motherfucker, we all work at a journalism company. You can't just call us journalists. Just give me a last name.
Even like out of this, like, all right, so like this game opens with like, you know, Fort Tarsus being destroyed.
Or not, Fort Tarsus.
Oh, it's a different place, right?
Freehold. This is my actual, one of my actual beefs is you go through the Heart of Rage, you're like, okay, I don't know what, I don't think, that didn't seem that important. I don't know why we were doing
just
any
seemed like
of that.
A big dude, yeah.
Right, it seemed like a big dude. Well, maybe we shouldn't have fucked with the big dude, I guess. I don't know. Don't fuck with the big dude. Then there's a point fairly early on where another character, is it Yarrow who tells you about the fall of Freemark?
Yes.
The, like, the old retired freelancer, who is one of the few characters who I think I actually have a deep fondness for. His voice acting is really good, and he sends you on one of the recurring missions that's like about a, that has like an interesting arc. Like, it's enough that like I put it together. But he tells you about Freemark, and you get this like 3 minute long cutscene of the nearest big city in this world. Also, how many people are on this world? How many people exist in the world of Bastion? No idea. Is it a thousand?
Hundreds, thousands?
Is it millions? Billions? I truly couldn't tell you. But Freemark falls, and he gives you kind of like the people outside of my house have feelings about Freemark. They're honking their horns. Freemark falls in an attack from the Dominion. Who is trying to get some ancient artifact in like the guts of the city. And it's a cool cutscene, but it's like, I should be playing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the intro. This is the intro that every other previous BioWare game would have given me, would have been like, oh no, the Dominion are attacking the city, and I would have gotten like to walk around the city before it gets destroyed, and I would have felt really bad. And instead
and you die defending like the MacGuffin, and like, boom, cut to like Anthem title card, switch to... you know, freelancer, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's in.
Totally.
I mean, even like the basic premise of like Fort Tarsus, or like in this part of the world where like what happens when the Dominion comes in is that like the freelancers, I don't know, just didn't try hard enough. And now people don't like freelancers because
That bugged me about this. Because
the whole game is rooted in, like, you are, like, one of the remaining freelancers in Fort Tarsus, and people don't trust you. They don't like freelancers anymore. Like, act like you are a pariah. Like, you are, like, people look down on you. And at no point in the opening hours of this game does it establish a reason for people to dislike you. Like, the way the game opens is, like, yo, they fought really hard, and they got crushed under the boot of someone. Well, now you're bad. It's like, wait, what? Like, and the emotional like core of this game is you like bringing back freelancers to out of notoriety and into like a respectable. But like, no, like I can't even buy that because you didn't explain why they don't like me in the first place. A lot of them died. They tried to fight them, and just they were powerful.
It's small. They do explain it, and it sucks that it's like so easy to miss. But so what is happening there is that after that Dominion attack, that thing is called a cataclysm now. It is when a shaper, like a piece of shaper technology, goes past the point where we normally would stop it, it like explodes into this giant rift, and like a tons of bad shit like happens, and it like starts to spread. After the attack on the Heart of Rage, it got bigger.
Okay.
Like, it made things worse for that area. Like, and so people were like, you all fucked up by going into it in the first place. You should have left it alone. Like, it was already...
Wasn't that the Sentinels?
No, that was the freelancers. That is that cutscene, is you going into the Heart of Rage, and that's when everyone dies, the cataclysm gets even bigger, people don't like freelancers anymore, but it's so easy to miss. It's so easy to miss.
Well, it's because if that's told to you only in a line of dialogue, if you don't see, this is the reason why the Freemark stuff makes more sense to me, because it's like, oh, people's homes were destroyed.
Yeah.
People were driven from their city or killed. I understand the fictional stakes of what is happening in that moment in Freemark, whereas I didn't in the first 20 minutes of this game when you're fighting a titan suddenly, like, okay, if I lose, what's the problem? Like, I'm in the middle of nowhere. They have not established what a cataclysm is or what that might look like for everyday people, and they don't really follow through with it. Like, Fort Tarsus is fine. Like, Fort Tarsus is not suffering. There isn't a feeling of, like, people not being safe or being scared or not having stuff, with the exception of occasional lines of dialogue. But, like, it's a bustling little frontier town, you know?
Yeah. I think the Freemark was supposed to be, like, a larger city, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally. It's a gem.
And there's the small moment where there's, like, very early on, there's, like, oh, we're not getting grains anymore, which is part of that one.
Yes, totally. And, like, that's the there are lines of dialogue.
That's the only time like that ever gets mentioned. And it wouldn't have or, like, it would have affected more.
The
people.
Governor gets killed or whatever, right? Yeah, like there is like occasional lines of dialogue where, like, oh, the world is more dangerous out there right now.
So you're saying that Yarrow, by speaking to Yarrow and doing his missions, you get another cutscene about Freemark?
No. That opening cutscene about Freemark is told to you by Yarrow, isn't it? Or is it told to you by? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the one who tells you, because he's like, I'm one of the few people who got away.
Right.
Yeah. It's not from doing missions.
Okay.
You do the Heart of Rage, yeah. Then you do another different mission, and in between those two, like, when you come back to Fort Tarsus, it's like, you finish Heart of Rage, then it's like 7 months later or whatever.
Right.
You're in Fort Tarsus, you do a side mission, then you end up talking to Yarrow after that side mission, and then he's like, by the way, there's this whole other intro to this game that we definitely had on a whiteboard at least.
Hey.
Maybe we even built it out, and then we had to throw it away, because there's no way we could finish it by launch.
Maybe my memory is really bad, but... But I was kind of skipping side missions just to see what campaign was. I don't think I ever got that. I didn't do anything for Yarrow.
Wait, you didn't see the fall of
maybe I did.
Freemark?
And I'm forgetting it.
You didn't see the like.
I feel like you had to. I feel like that was it after cutscene that the game forced
right,
you to see.
That's what I'm wondering. Was it after the first mission?
Are
you
sure
for Yarrow?
It wasn't like that one that lady who comes to recruit you. Maybe that's
it. Might
where you
be.
Get that
it
cut
might
scene.
Be her. Oh, I'm checking Chasson? Now. It is all three of them together. It is. I'm now watching it. It is whatever her name is. Tamsin. Tamsin's not right. Tassin. Matthias and Yarrow are all together talking to you out in front of where your thing is, where your javelin is. That's who delivers that thing. I'm gonna paste it.
Maybe I'm just forgetting.
This is how you get the story. It's a 7-minute cutscene. You definitely saw this cutscene.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I remember this guy's face. I remember this guy, the specific thumbnail. Yeah. I just don't remember them all being there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, right? Well, because, like, who are they? You haven't met them.
Yeah.
The game gives has no emotional stakes, does none of the groundwork to invest you in a world, in its characters, in even the arc you go on over the course of like 20 hours, which would probably actually be closer to like 8 to 10 if you got rid of the tomb stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's frustrating, especially given that, like, when you start teasing out interesting stuff about the world, I think, like, what gives me hope is, like, all right, I want to imagine a scenario where it's like, yo, they just had to ship this game with what they had, or like they fumbled it together. And that, like, maybe, and I have no idea if this is true, is like, well, the DLC is going to reflect, like, okay, what if from the start we figured out how do we want to do this? And that maybe some of the DLC stuff will, you know, find a way to more effectively build upon the
right.
parts of the world that are interesting, to tell stories that are
part of me that
more compelling.
Part of the thing that where, like, I like believe that is because the next DLC is so soon. It's March, and it's just free. Like, it's just...
Do we know what it is?
There's an image somewhere where they're like, yeah, this is what it is. And it's like one more stronghold, some new story stuff. I don't remember what else
I'm
is
trying
on
to bump
there.
On. Anthem DLC schedule.
Yeah.
Release dates. Echoes of Reality, Act 1.
Yeah, that is the one that...
Act 1: Echoes of Reality, and then there is an Act 2...
How is Act 1 not the game that's out?
No.
Just because I'm just seeing it now.
Yeah.
Constantly in this game, the phrase that they use to describe how freelancers are and when they're better when they're stronger together.
Stronger together.
It just...
2020.
It just...
Uh-huh. When they go low, what do?
I mean, is it possible that like this game was made during the 2016 election and they just were it was just too late to get rid of Hillary Clinton's like campaign slogan from the game.
I think
it's every very time they're funny.
Like stronger together, I'm like, no.
No.
I think it's a bad it's a mistake. It's they were I always felt they were going for the choral thing, like singing and like multiple voices. But yeah. Now that you've mentioned it, that's too yeah.
Also, to be fair, it's strong alone, stronger together.
Yeah. Sure. No, I know. It's I'm not at all actually implying that like this is a reflection of 2016. It's just one of those things that like.
No, I get you. No, it's
I couldn't help but cringe every time it came up.
It makes me wonder if it like drilled into someone's brain there and like. Because
look,
of
they look back and go, oh shit.
Oh fuck. Oh shit. Can we get
did Kristen Schaal say that? We probably can't. She can't get back in that VO booth, right? Probably not.
We can't make her not say, okay.
Is Kenneth from 30 Rock in this game? Why? Yep. He's a bartender and you don't have any actual dialogue with him. He just does occasional idle dialogue when you go into the bar.
There's one convo. There's a convo.
Is there?
There's a whole convo line with him, but you don't get to it until the very end.
He talks about being, he was in the beta. It's the only reason I know this.
Yeah.
In which he basically talks about being Kenneth from The Office, or not from The Office, from 30 Rock, where he's like, has some bit role in some throwaway TV show.
Radio play.
It's a radio play. This world has radio plays. Doesn't have TVs. And so he's like, I had a bit part as a like soldier number two on the radio show. And he's like trying to make it. He's trying to make it in the entertainment industry. He's just playing Kenneth.
Also, I'm now realizing for the distance I'm into the game, the missions from the beta are like really late in the campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've not gotten to the Matthias stuff yet from the beta. And obviously we did the stronghold, but that stronghold is fairly deep into the game.
Weren't those his side missions?
Not until, dude, I am at the tomb. They must be post-tomb.
Okay.
They have to, because I'm doing all the side stuff as I do the main missions, and I have not gotten to like, you know, the one where he splits in three because you find some artifact or whatever.
I am at the point where I have nothing to do in this game except the tomb, which I did not think I would get to.
But you are me. You are me 4 days ago.
Oh my god, it's fine.
Like that's also like small things we're thinking about. Is like when we squatted up. One of the things that really drives me up a wall about Anthem, it's a quality of life thing that like. Is so obvious, I'm sure they will fix, is that, so when you go on a mission, you know, you're in Fort Tarsus, you go into your javelin, which then takes you to a map screen where you can pick, like, what thing you want to do, whether it's a stronghold or a mission or just, like, run around and free play. So let's say you pick a mission, and then you go out, you complete that mission, then when the game sends you to, like, the wrap-up screen where it's like, here's your loot, which, side thing, just tell me what the fucking loot is when it drops. Like, I shouldn't have to finish the mission to find out what the rare is. Like, and I should be able to just equip it if I want to equip it in the mission. That's bad. But when the completion screen finishes, the options it gives you from there are Forge, Fort Tarsus, or to go into whatever weird arena thing that I went into once and I'll never go into again.
Which is launch where, bay. Like,
launch bay where, like, 10 or 12 people can run around all at once. You cannot just, like... Go like you can't string together missions like and because of the loading screens, it exasperates your ability to just like jump back in to do something. And this is all the more exasperated by when you're in Fort Tarsus, you can't just launch into a mission. You do have to like if you're on one end of Fort Tarsus, you need to sprint back to your exosuit, get in it to launch things. But if you're playing with a squad and someone has queued up a mission. You can just hold Y, and then everyone jumps into the thing that is being queued up. And it's like, yo, that should just be how
that
this
should be in the
works.
Game all the time. Yep.
I was like figuring out what lines and paths I was taking to maximize or minimize the amount of walking I would have to do to get back, like do the circle, do the rounds, right? Like do it in the right order so that I could get back to my javelin the easiest.
Did this pathway pop in the geometry properly so that I don't fall through the world? Yep. Because that honestly happened to me like a bunch of times where it's like I would try to go to the bar and be like, the bar isn't there. The geometry is not there.
When I started playing, I was like hearing all these stories and like I never hit any of them. I was like, I got really lucky. And then I tried to play on the PC here at work and like half of Fort Tarsus wouldn't load after I was already in there. Like there are people floating in the sky where there should be like, you know, scaffolding or whatever. There's just like up
God
there.
Damn.
And it's like, I don't like that computer is not, it's a little old, but not that old. Like, it's pretty beefy. So, yeah.
There's been some, like, speculation. I mean, it's we should stipulate that it's, like, idle speculation from folks about, like, how this game is loading in its world that helps explain a lot of its technical challenges that also seem to be rooted in, you know, EA's, which, you know, in retrospect seems like such a horrible decision to force everybody to use DICE's Frostbite engine because it just wasn't built for certain types of games.
Yeah, totally.
And teams have to do so much work just to, like, games are already hard to build if you're building them, you know, the technology in line with, you know, what you want it to do. And it just seems like, you know, we now have between Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Andromeda, and Anthem, you know, the Anthem team, the game just came out, so they're not going to complain about Frostbite yet. But yo, like, are you going to be surprised if a year now they're like, if you knew what we had to do to get this engine to do very basic things, I think there's reason to actually believe, like, the Reddit speculation from folks that would explain some of the technical issues related to just Frostbite being a very pretty, you know, capable of producing very pretty games, but boy, I wish Anthem was probably just built in UE4, probably. Yeah.
Probably, right? Like, I'm so curious about the future of this game. You know, like, I look at the big, there's like a thing that says what Act 1 is bringing, and it's like evolving world, quality of life, new events, expanded progression system. Yeah, and it's easy to get
guilds
excited.
And leaderboards.
I know. Yeah.
Things that should be in a video game. Mm-hmm.
But actual write-up on what expanded progression system is like, new difficulty levels, increase on the level cap.
Wait, Austin, you need to explain to people.
Oh my god!
You need to explain the thing that I told you to your digital face in the sense that we talk on Discord. I didn't believe one of these things that changed between the beta and shipping.
So it wasn't the beta. It was reported from the early alpha. Access thing. Alpha. Yeah, from the early access from the, and it was that there used to be a pilot skill tree in this game. There used to be, you would, and they, I mean, like, they were advertising it on their website through, like, a week before launch, through, like, after I was playing the game. After I was playing the game, there absolutely were posts on Reddit being like, hey, EA, it still says there's a pilot skill tree on the website, and there is not. So there was, previously, the idea what was, you would have, and when I say was, I mean it was in playable form in the build that was in the alpha or whatever from last year that people have taken screenshots of and sent around and blah, blah, blah. There was two ways to progress. One, you get new gear for your javelin. Two, you had a pilot level that would go up as a pilot, and you would get passive boosts, passive buffs that would be like permanent on your character. So that would be like things like you can hover for longer, or it's like a lot of the stuff that ended up becoming components in the build previously were tied to just pilot skill level that would affect any javelin you got in. So like, let's say you'd raised your ability, your cooldown on flight, right? Or your what do you call it? Your heat, whatever on flight, you wouldn't generate as much heat. And that would be true for the Interceptor and also the Colossus. All of your different javelins would all be affected by it. That is just gone. And it didn't take that much time. It was like October it was still in. Mm-hmm. And that's a quick turnaround. And some of the conversation around it, I mean, that's like the other thing about this. It's just like, it is wild to go on Reddit. And like, they are being very active with the community. They're really trying to get out there and talk to the community about everything that's happening. But
which is what they should do, right?
Which is like, what they should do.
If you're going to save a game that is starting on the wrong foot,
100%.
You need to be out there and be like, yeah, okay. Like, the radical transparency is the right move, but it leads to
it leads
an exchange.
To some exchange. I'm gonna try. I have to find that exact exchange. Where is it? Here it is. Someone is like, are pilot skill trees still a thing, or have they been scrapped? And the BioWare development manager is like, they're not gonna be around at launch. We redesigned the component system. And someone was like, oof, you guys probably should have, like, you should revisit this. You know, it's like a very, like, let me tell you how to do your job post. So, like, no doubt that's a frustrating post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that response is, like, totally fine. I think this person's first response is totally fine. But it keeps going. It's like, this is the one of the dangers with, like, constantly talking with your community is eventually you get to a point where you got to be like, I disagree. Like, let me break down this whole system for you in a way that is, like, I think I agree with the person who responds. Camden at BioWare is like, you aren't understanding. Here, let me break down what this is. Here is, like, the way this works. I forget what the name of this thread is, but basically someone's like, this is a huge mistake. Components alone cannot fill the niche role to blah, 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 blah. And Camden's response is this, like, three-paragraph thing that is like, all right, here is how components work. The agnostic pilot skills just didn't actually affect your combat experience in any meaningful way. But it's just one of those wild things where it's like, it makes them feel like they're on their back feet. You know what I mean? Where, like, they are – to pull out – to show that system so late in the cycle and then to have removed it is such a loss of confidence for the audience who does care deeply about a game like this, who did follow it along week to week. And again, for it to have been on the, like, the EA site, the actual Anthem site, where it's like, oh, yeah, and also you can level up your pilot. For that to just be gone
feels like – Right, it's one thing for it to be in, like, a private friends and family beta, and they're like, ah, shit, this actually isn't working. We're ripping it out. Lots of things change. But, like,
reset
it was
era
in the PR.
It was in the
marketing.
Exactly, exactly. And so, like, these are things like, you know, one of the skills was elemental stacks. The rate of elemental stack application on enemies is increased by 2% of base buildup per rank, and you could get 5 ranks of that. And it's like, that's a system that they tested. And I bet they tested it and was like, this isn't that good. This isn't worth it. But the fact that, like, that screenshot was going around 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago or something is like, wow, big changes happened to this game pretty late in dev, which I know is true for most games, but it sends a certain message. There's a degree to which it feels like the narrative around this game has become this thing really came together hot. And that means that there's, like, a lack of confidence and trust that it is in a state that is, you know, what they want it to be or what I should want it to be, you know?
And especially because I think part of it is, like, there are other examples of this game out there, right? So it's, like, part of Destiny that in retrospect is understandable is, like, it was breaking a lot of ground. And I think there were obvious things that could have been done better, right? Like, it was just a bad single player. Like, the story just wasn't particularly good. Right. But, like, so much of Destiny was them feeling their way through something that seemed like it – at the time didn't seem like it was that new. But with the benefit of hindsight, it's like, they were really trying to do some really weird stuff that has now proven to be utterly groundbreaking, and there's a huge copycat around it. But some of the stuff that Anthem does wrong is, like, it's not like this is a lesson that had to be learned. It's just, you know, implemented properly or conceived of properly. Kato, sorry, I know you were about to say something.
I'm just trying to find this thing because I beat the campaign, and I got a pop-up that said...
Yep. I have... Do you want me to tell you what it says?
Yeah.
So I just saw it.
I was looking for it.
If you beat the game, there's, like, a post-game quest, which is essentially Tombs 2.0, promises you access to the, quote, pilot mastery system upon completion.
Yeah. What? Is that?
Uh-huh.
Is that just not in there? Is that what they, is that the skill tree that people are talking about?
People, the thing that I'm reading is that you get Matt's 4,000 coin and a vinyl for completing it. So that doesn't sound...
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Pilot Mastery.
That doesn't sound like Pilot Mastery System 2.0. Uh-huh.
So that's what that was then. That was the system, and they took it out, but the text is still there.
The text is still there.
Wow. Okay, because I got excited for it, but I was like, oh, cool, there's some more customization stuff I can look forward to later on.
Maybe they'll add it.
That'll affect big. Yeah, I think that's probably... It says... Where did I see that?
That is, Pilot Mastery.
It says, no, actually, Expanded Progression System. Yeah, that's a thing.
No,
when that gets explained out, never mind. But, like, on the image, it just says Expanded Progression System.
Which sounds excited, but that's not what is actually being promised. It's just more levels and more difficulty. So, yeah. Oh, boy.
And I think, like, a very legitimate fear is, I think as tough as we're being on the game, I think I've been saying, like, ever since Austin, you and I had that encounter with the game where we played, like, the limited bit at E3, and we're like, shit, like, this plays really well.
Which was that was the stronghold, by the way.
Yes, we played that sequence. And I have been ready to be like, this is it. Like, I'm ready to pick a game and, like, just dump a bunch of hours into it. Like, so I really... And I still am. Like, I'm going to keep playing. Like, I'm on board. I'm going to check out the DLC. Like, I'm invested in the sense that I want them to see it through. At the same time, I am deeply worried that EA is not the type of studio that is going to have the patience
yeah.
to, like, Ubisoft backed into becoming a company that, like, found value in allowing a game that starts on the wrong foot to find its way through and has now made that part of their studio culture, right? Like, a game, like, that started with Rainbow Six Siege and then expanded to a game like For Honor, which didn't start out very well. And while not has not been the same blockbuster that Siege has, like, has found its way, has a dedicated community. The people that play it seem to really love it.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Like, I'm glad a game, like, we can debate about, like, you know, the nature of, like, early access and charging for, you know, money for games that aren't finished. But, like, at the same time, it is good to be in a place where games aren't immediately written off as, like, well, shit, just move on to the sequel or just scrap the whole thing because it yeah. doesn't work out at the gate.
Totally.
And I want Anthem to, at the very least, be given that chance, which yeah. is, what, a bare minimum of a year, like 18 months probably, to, like, find that way. And maybe a game like Apex helps. I don't know. Like, I don't know where the A to B to C is on stuff like that. I don't know what the future of BioWare is. It's like, if this game fucking falters, does that mean, like, well, you just don't make Dragon Age and, like, actually BioWare just becomes something even. You know, I'm not trying, really, you know, but, like,
that doesn't happen.
I don't know.
Right, but, like,
what I want is EA to give this game, hopefully, like, there's enough here and it does well enough at launch and everyone's really frustrated, but I'm hoping that EA has the patience to give them time. Like, in some ways, it seems like they let DICE do that with Battlefront 2,
yeah.
a game that really was raked across the coals when it first came out. And, you know, I don't know what, like, the ROI has been on, like, their investment in that game. I don't know how much of that is related to the fact that it's Star Wars and they have, you know, contractual obligations to make sure that, you know, Disney is happy with the agreement they have going with them. But they've given that game room to breathe, and, you know, it seems like that game, for the people that like it, it has become a better experience and is a better game. And I hope Anthem is given that chance. I just don't. I think there's decent reason to be, not cynical, but just to, given EA's track record, to worry that we'll get, like, DLC through the end of the year, and then, like, that's just the roadmap, and then it right. ends.
I hope it's not. I hope that they don't. I mean, I hope that they give it the time. I really do, because I think part of me is like, I've tried to play Warframe a bunch of times. I really have. I've given it my all. I just don't like how it feels to fight things in that game. I don't like moving. I don't really like the jumping. I don't like the triple jumping or the wall running. I've tried really hard to like it. I think it's well implemented. It's just not me. It's just not for me. Like, I am not interested in the twitchiness level that is in that game. Anthem fundamentally feels like something I could like to play more of. Like, the movement, the traversal, the basic ability relationships, the way in which the javelins are fairly differentiated from each other. Like, I think part of the corner they back themselves into when they design these javelins is that the ranger is really boring, and so I'm glad they didn't just give everybody the ranger out the gate for the right. first 4 hours. People would have bounced off this game because that it is a boring suit to use, especially out the gate. Yeah. Like, every other one has cooler shit going on. But they're differentiated in real ways. The Colossus does not feel like the Ranger, does not feel like the Storm, does not feel like the Interceptor. There obviously are overlaps, but, like, it is they do feel distinct. They do feel different. Watching them all play together is really fun. Also, to add more javelins.
Yeah.
And they could, and I would continue to play. And I would continue to enjoy it. But, like, they need to get a lot of that. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, I hope, like Warframe, it is able to have that long life where they figure out what works, they figure out what doesn't, they slowly improve it over time, they build a diehard community, and I will continue to play this game if that's the case. Unfortunately, yeah. Warframe is free and easy to recommend that people try out. Anthem right. is $60, and that is a lot of money to play or to pay for something that, like, does not, in some places, feel complete. Does not, it certainly does not feel good in many places. And that just, it's a bummer. Like, I really wanted to be able to be really positive on this. I am so in favor of studios like BioWare following their heart and trying completely new things. Mm-hmm. I'm so in favor of, like, you know, I miss the companions a lot, obviously. I miss the fact that there's romance. There are NPCs in this game that are clearly, like, flirty. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're definitely, you're flirting with Sentinel Bryn. You're flirting with a lot of different characters in this game. Like, you could have romance, blah, 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 but I'm like, fine. I like made peace with it because what I'd rather is studios not just repeat what their past successes are and try new things. And I was really excited for BioWare to bring narrative and story focus into the loot shooter, into the kind of like action RPG where it's about finding new gear. I want them to figure out that space. That's a good space to improve, to bring their skill set to. I just wish that they had stuck the landing on this and had produced something that felt as innovative and felt as important as to the genre as a whole as the other big movers and shakers in this genre, or as important as past BioWare games. Like, I was hoping that they would set a new standard, and what actually happened is I don't know that they lived up to their own standard, and that is like really depressing.
Because if you think
not
about
depressing, like, but you know what I mean.
It's like a huge bummer because if you think about like. What is, for as many problems as Destiny had when it first came out, like, what did it do really well that so many people that I had to hear from Brad Shoemaker over and over, like, yeah, you could credibly hang your hat on, was like, it has some of the best shooting in a video game.
In a video game, yeah.
Not in an MMO style game. Yep. It is just feels unbelievably good. And he was right. And like, I liked that part of it. It's why I came back to the game, later. It felt incredibly good to shoot. And so it's like, if that is like, and that's part of Bungie's DNA, right? Like, that's just what they do, like, across, Marathon, Halo, Destiny, like, that is consistent with something that they do very well. And it's like harder to pin exactly what that is with BioWare, because it's not as easy as just saying storytelling, right? I would say in some way it's like worlds, and like, that's not something this game does. Like, whatever it is that you want to pin BioWare to be, and maybe that's part of the problem, is that it means different things to different people, that is kind of like under the like larger idea of like storytelling and world building and characters. But whatever that is, it doesn't feel like that's here. Like, there's very little that you look at Anthem and go, oh, it's a BioWare game. And that should have been able to be true, even if it is very different in style and tone and approach and gameplay than previous things they've done. There's just, you don't see enough of an identity on the game. And I think that's a lot of what leads to a lot of its challenges, is that it doesn't feel like it has like a real core identity. And maybe it'll figure itself out, and I'm hopeful, and I guess maybe not hopeful, but more optimistic, and I'd like it to be that way. But at its current moment, it feels like the lack of identity also informs a lot of its problems.
Yeah, it's...
Totally.
It's really funny coming, like, I'm a big Destiny stan, obviously, like, if you've heard me ever talk about Destiny. The way that Destiny, like, launched and, like, lived off of, like, just how good the mechanics were, but also, for me personally, it was also the hint of the world that they could build in the Grimoire. And I feel like Anthem has a really interesting, like, building blocks to the world that they don't do a good, like where Destiny didn't engage in the narrative with its lore, like, almost at all, like, very barely. Anthem is trying to engage with the world building and the lore that it's set up, but it doesn't do it well at all. And like even though the Cortex is in the game this time, right, like, you can still get all of that information in the game instead of the whole Grimoire business where you have to go to a website, it still feels disjointed in a way that, like, I have that same hope again. It's like, it feels almost exactly the same. Like, I really like the like team play and combo system with the abilities. And I hope that they can dig into the world they've built a little, a little deeper. Cause some of it's there in the different, like, journal entries and things like that. But it's, it feels like I'm falling for this trap again. Yep. Like, I'm aware of it this time, because this, like, Destiny was the first time that happened to me, at least. Like, I'm sure, right, like, there were, like, but like, and it feels, it's hard. I'm trying to think, like, but what if it's bad? Just forget about, like, I'm trying to separate my current experience of it with what I think could happen. And because it's set up, and because they've already announced, like, hey, March, 2 weeks from now, updates, new story, new quality of life stuff. Like they're setting it up to be one of those games that, you know, they're setting it up as a live game.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I found myself being like, okay, I'm gonna wait it out. And like, but I don't know that it's that thing where like, I want, because it's
a multiplayer, your whole body.
I just cannot. It's a multiplayer game. I want my friends to play it because it would be really fun to have more friends that I can play with all the time. But it's also not that good, and maybe they won't like it right now. Like,
yeah, no, you don't. I do not want my friends to play this game. Like, right. I have a tight group of friends who I know when I have the social capital to be like, oh, you should play this with me. Right. I am not cashing in those chits right now. Janine, you do not need to play this game with me. Like,
I mean, it feels like even for me, it's like the game where it's like, I'll see what the reaction is to like the first set of DLC, and it's like, is that when I should dip my toe back in?
Right.
After I've like done this first arc that of like 25 hours.
That is what I've in my friend group, I'm gonna be the one who keeps up with Anthem and who is like the reverse canary in the coal mine. I'm gonna let you know when it's clean. I'm the dove with the olive branch. When I show up, I'll tell you when Anthem is ready for you.
Yeah.
It isn't yet. It isn't yet unless you really just want – unless you have, like, money burning a hole through your pocket.
Or what you're getting into, right?
Really know what you're getting into. Really, please, really know. Because it's cool. There's cool shit in here. But it is not
you're going to have to look outside of the game for a lot of the information that will make it cool for you.
And like, not in a Monster Hunter way or a Dark Souls way where it feels rewarding.
No. Like, it's just this should have been in there.
Yeah, and it should be. I think it should be there in Monster Hunter too. But I think that at least with Monster Hunter, it was one of those things where it was like, I looked up a tutorial for the Charge Blade or for the Switch Axe, and I was like, wow, I learned it. I learned how to do it. Like, that experience of teaching myself that from watching videos was videos that, by the way, the same person, RX, who I watched for Monster Hunter, is doing Anthem videos. The skill set here is just not that deep.
Right.
And it's okay that it's not that deep, but because it's not that deep, it shouldn't be out of the game.
Yep.
Know that there's a lot of like loose threads narratively that don't really get explored in the gameplay and only through, you know, Cortex entries. Know that like there's a lot of grind in the middle of this game right now, and that they're trying their best to like minimize that at this point, but it's still going to be there to some degree. Like, all that stuff is going to be there, and it is, if you still want to play it, listen, I'll be there too, probably playing it, doing cool backflips in my javelin, but like, it is not the thing I'd hoped it was, and that is a huge bummer for a day that we were talking about February 15th for a minute. You know, we were like, boy, February's packed. Great games. Well.
Anyone play that RE2 DLC? Huh? Was that good?
All right.
I guess I'm going to go back and play Metro.
I'm going to go play Metro too. That's my next thing. I'm going to have, I heard the intro to that is rough.
I'm going to start it over on PC. I was playing on PS4. Mm. Also, it sounds like the PC version is, I was worried that it was not, the performance is going to be like iffy.
Optimized,
Well, my CPU is getting old, so it's like, I have to be like, even though I have like a really, I have a 1080, so it's like, you would hope the GPU can get you across finish line. It just depends on the game, on whether that's true. But like, I've seen like 60 FPS at Metro, and I was like, oh shit, okay, I need to see if I can do that. I will actually replay the first like 3 hours of Exodus if I can play it like that, so.
I've got to get before to level. Before we wrap, I have two more good things, and I'll be done talking about Anthem. Mm-hmm. One, I think it's pretty. I wish there was more. See, I can't even fucking do this without undercutting it. I wish there was more variety in the environments. I wish there was like I missed there being multiple planets in Mass Effect or multiple environments in Dragon Age. Like, it's all cool, like, jungly ruins, but they're all very pretty.
I wish I had a reason to go in the water more.
Me too. Like, me too.
I actually forget that's a big thing
down there.
There are chests down there. There are chests.
I already got those 15.
Damn,
you're good.
You're good. You're good forever.
But like, that's one of the like coolest like world parts of Anthem, right? Like, in part of the original pitch is like, oh, like there's a whole world underneath the water.
Yeah.
But now that I think back to like my 16 hours of the game so far, the only time I ever did that was once during a mission. Like, there's no incentive to go down there other than, I don't know, maybe there's a treasure chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two. Second good thing, and this is unimpeachable for me. This is like, I don't have any restraint saying it. I think the fucking soundtrack rips. The soundtrack is so good. There's all sorts of wild ass synth noises in this shit.
There's absolutely a didgeridoo somewhere that's been like sampled and like looped back a couple times. It sounds so cool.
It's so good. I need to look up the person who did the score, Sarah Schachner. Who I think also did the Assassin's Creed Origin soundtrack, which also rips. So, hey, maybe go listen to the soundtrack, and if you get, like, pumped up enough from that, go play the game.
Yeah.
Because that soundtrack is all through this game, and it's really, really, really good.
That's good that they nailed that for a game whose lore is based around sound. So
yes, totally, absolutely. I wish the rhythm of playing the game was maybe a little bit better,
right.
But the actual score is good.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop warping me. Stop warping me.
Stop. Well, we didn't even talk about that. We didn't even talk about being warped. No. I would like it to not be warped. I think it's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap up because we've gone for pretty long here. Rob was right. We could not contain ourselves. 30 minutes ago, I was like, I think we're just about done. And we did not wrap up. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Cotto?
At @A_Cotto_appears.
How about you, Patrick?
At Patrick Klopik.
As always, you can find everything we do, twitter.com/waypoint, waypoint.advice.com. That shout outs to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. Come let us know what type of time you're having with Anthem over at the forums, discourse.zone. If you're going to play this game, I bet the Waypoint community is a good place to play this game.
There's already a large contingent of... So Destiny's in a content lull right now. You know, next update isn't until like mid-March, so we've got a couple weeks where everyone's hopping over, basically.
There you go. So come play Anthem with the Destiny, or with the Destiny crew.
Yeah, I mean, it is, mostly.
Totally. What else we got going on? Have a safe weekend. Have a good, happy weekend. When I come back from real vacation, I'm gonna fucking talk about some robots. I'm playing games. I've been watching Gundam.
Hell yeah.
So look forward to that. I think that's gonna do it for us for this week. I need someone to help take me out because Danielle's not here. Someone say a positive thing. please. No? Okay.
We're just gonna laugh. Flying's real good.
Go review us on iTunes and Spotify, and we're on Spotify now.
Are we? Yeah, we are.
We've been on Spotify.
I have concerns about what Spotify is going to do to the podcast market.
Yeah.
But go review us on Spotify. Peace.
1st Let's hear that one more time.
The world's best converting checkout.
Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.